الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس إلى آخر الآية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Holy Quran that, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, la'allakum tattaqun, that you may earn, or at least that you may learn piety, that you may acquire Allah consciousness, that you may develop virtue. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, that the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed to you. The Quran, which is هدى للناس, which is a guidance for humanity. And the month of Ramadan represented the commencement of the glorious mission of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is indeed the most important month of our calendar. It's a tremendous gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ways. The ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are replete with listing the merit of the month of Ramadan. Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. That whomsoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with true faith and with anticipation of a goodly reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all his previous sins will be forgiven indeed. In another hadith, the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that kullu amal ibni adam lahu illa as-siyam fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that every action of the children of Adam alayhi salam is for him. In other words, he accrues a reward as designated for the particular good deed. Illa siyam, except fasting, which is special. Fa innahu li, for fasting is for me, wa ana ajzi bihi, and I shall afford it a unique reward, or I shall be its reward. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that yada'u shahwatahu wa ta'amahu min ajli, that this servant, this bondsman of mine, has left aside his desires and pleasures, his food and drink, on my account. So, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَان, for those who fast, there will be two delights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares. فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ, the first delight will be the delight when he breaks his fast at the end of the day and relishes the food that he enjoys. And the second delight is فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ لِقَائِ, that delight which he experiences when meeting me, seeing the tremendous reward that I have in store for him. There's yet another hadith where Rasulullah says, I'm emphasizing the spirit of the month of Ramadan in fasting, that إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ صَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَسْخَمْ, that when you do enter into the month of fasting and observe its days, then let there be no obscenity, let there be no calumny, let there be no argumentation. There should be discipline, not just of the appetites of food and drink, but also discipline of the ego, the impetuses particularly of the tongue. So this is, in no doubt, a tremendous gift in so many ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been tremendously beneficent in affording us the month of Ramadan. Because if you look at our current state, we are down, we are out. Spiritually, we are exhausted, we are weak. If we look at our condition as well, globally, it is quite a depressing one. But what the month of Ramadan does is that it does uplift us, no doubt. Spiritually, it revives us. It also empowers us. It turns around our situation individually and collectively. It has this tremendous capacity if it is correctly observed. It is described by the ulama as the spring season of goodness. And we notice this even in our own personal experience. The garden of Islam, when all the dry grass has begun to wither away and there seems to be nothing but dust and sand, the month of Ramadan comes and all of a sudden this garden of Islam flowers. It's brought back to life. We find that there is a renewed enthusiasm for acts of virtue. There is a keenness for piety. There is an inclination in relenting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these benefits are not promised for those who observe lifeless and thoughtless rituals alone. These benefits can be ours only if our actions are informed by the message of Ramadan, by the spirit of the month of Ramadan. And this is my intention today, to explore some of that dimension of the month of Ramadan that will better inform us as to what the true spirit of the month is. Now, the message of Ramadan, unfortunately, tends to get drowned out by much louder voices, particularly the voice of popular culture. This seems to have the opposite message to the month of Ramadan. We become so accustomed to these voices that unfortunately, even though the month of Ramadan comes to emancipate us from the slavery to our egos and desires and to our hedonistic habits, we find that we're so enslaved that even during the month of Ramadan, we remain in those unfortunate ways, the ways of materialism and what popular culture dictates. Now, the most important message of the month of Ramadan is that we are just not simply bodies. That what we are is not what we see of our physical constitution. We are body, but we are also ruh, we are soul. And it is in fact the soul, the ruh, which makes us insan, which makes us human beings. And also it is the soul, it is the ruh, that determines our value, our true worth. It is as a consequence of that, that we are afforded excellence and nobility and honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is karramna bani Adam, has honored the children of Adam alayhi salam. We have an intrinsic worth. And the most important feature that asserts that worth is that Allah nafakha fihi min ruhihi. Allah is breathed into us of His spirit. We possess a ruh, a soul, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is that during the month of Ramadan, we suppress the body. We deprive the body so as to uplift the soul. We turn our focus away from the physical constitution and direct our focus and energy towards our spiritual essence. This is very simple. What I've said up to this point is quite familiar to all of us. But the message of this materialistic, global, popular culture that has engulfed everyone, including those who live within Muslim lands, is exactly the opposite. It is the call towards the world. It is the call away from Allah towards the devils, unfortunately. It says that the body is everything. It tells us that the material world is really all that counts. This is the message that comes through every single soundbite from the media, from popular publications, from casual conversation, from even, unfortunately, our own voices. The greatest happiness, unfortunately, we define is that of fulfilling the appetites of our body. And we find every day when we leave our homes, our pursuit is really one of physical comfort, physical pleasure. Very seldom do we actually leave our homes in the morning with the pursuit of spiritual attainment, spiritual progress, moral upliftment. But this is unfortunate because we live in a culture that dictates to us this tempo, a tempo of materialism, of hedonism, of gratifying the appetites of the ego, of the nafs. And this message, unfortunately, produces endless appetites. And the problem with endless appetites is that it consequently leads to endless wars. Because endless wars are need to fulfill those endless appetites. And it does so through endless exploitation. And what then happens is that it produces endless frustrations. And we have endless frustration because the gap between our desires and our achievements really will never be fulfilled. And then what happens is that it produces endless chaos. And then there's endless oppression. And this essentially is the world that we live in today. And it comes as a consequence of this basic misunderstanding that the body is everything and human, material, sensual happiness is the goal of life. Now this trash comes in such beautiful and enticing packages that very few of us can resist. And we know we become part of that system, unfortunately. We then, unfortunately, again equate the slavery with freedom. And we consider this march towards destruction as progress. And with every movement, we get further and deeper into this quagmire that insan has found itself in the so-called modern, advanced, progressive, enlightened 21st century. And this is where Ramadan steps in. Ramadan comes to liberate us from this false notion of life, from these misdirected and deluded objectives and goals. It is here with a very powerful message. And the fundamental message of Ramadan is that the soul is more important than the body. The body perishes, the soul endures. The body must be disciplined, the soul must be nourished. We need to take a break from that popular culture. We need to turn off the music. We need to switch off the television, which continuously communicates the destructive message that I just described earlier. We need to say goodbye to these endless and futile pursuits of happiness, which we define as happiness, but really is fulfillment of sensory pleasures. That's all it is. Our lives have become a ticker tape of appeasing desires. That's all it is. We have an impulse and a desire, and then we drive ourselves towards fulfilling it without any forethought, without any understanding, without any true goal and true objective, aside from just satiating an impulse, a desire. So what Ramadan tells us is that we have to free ourselves from slavery to habit. So a person, for example, who smokes has to stop smoking. That's just symptomatic of the type of culture of appeasing the nafs. A person who loves to play endless sport, frivolously. We've already talked about sport in Islam. But frivolous entertainment, take a break from it. Because you become a slave to that. So what Islam says in the message of Ramadan is that we need to rediscover our inner self. A soul that has been buried under the layers of the sloth of our material appetites, our desires. We have to reorient ourselves away from dunya to akhirah, away from the nafs to the ruh, away from our false gods that we've created around us, seeing in them the fulfillment of our desires and attaining success through these illusions that we've created and directed towards the true God, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to devote ourselves, firstly, at least to reading the Quran in this month. This is Shahrul Quran. We have to rediscover its message. We have to engage ourselves in ibadah because it is our function and purpose as Allah's devotees. We have been created to adore Allah, to devote and to serve Him. We have to engage ourselves in dhikr, the remembrance and the celebration of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an expression of true gratitude for the bounties we enjoy with every breath. We have to engage ourselves in conversation, munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the dead of the night, it is only you and your Allah. And you have to beg from Him. This is the message, and this is what is expected of the month of Ramadan. We have to reflect on the direction of our lives. Where are we going? What are we doing? We have to assess our priorities. Have we confused the hierarchy of priorities of life? We have to reflect on and strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when everything comes to an end, Our lives and our relationships and our wealth has been dissipated and our memories have been lost. The only thing you really have is a relationship with Allah, with your Creator. That is all that endures. On the last day of the month of Sha'ban, the Prophet ﷺ gave a khutbah about the coming month of Ramadan. And it's a very important khutbah that we should carefully review before every Ramadan, at least to prepare ourselves mentally for the sacred month. And I'll recite some of that khutbah to you. The Prophet ﷺ said, O people, a great month is coming to you, a blessed month, a month in which there is one night that is better than 1,000 months, a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon you fasting by day, and Allah has made recommended to you prayer during the night, the Taraweeh. And whoever draws near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing any of the voluntary good deeds in this month, he shall receive the same reward as is there for performing an obligatory deed at any other time. And whosoever discharges an obligatory deed in this month, a fard, then he shall receive the reward of performing 70 fara'id, 70 obligatory deeds at any other time. Wa wa shahru sabr, the Prophet continued saying, and this is the month of patience. And the reward for patience is Jannah. وَهُوَ سَبْرُ الثَّوَابِ وَهُوَ سَبْرُ الْمُوَاسَاتِ أَشَهْرُ الْمُوَاسَاتِ. It is the month of kindness and charity. It is the month in which يُزَادُ فِي رِزْقِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It is a month in which the risk, the provision of a Muslim is enhanced, is blessed, is increased. Whoever gives food to a fasting person to break his fast shall have his sins forgiven, and he will be saved from the fire of hell, and he shall have the same reward as the fasting person, min غَيْرِ يُنْقَسُ مِنْ أَجْرِهِ شَيْعًا, in such a manner that the latter's reward will not be diminished in the least. The hadith continues and gives many advices, but I want to focus on just two things that Rasulullah SAW has communicated in this khutbah of Sha'ban, introducing the month of Ramadan. The first is that this hadith talks about Ramadan as the month of sabr, shahru sabr. Now the English translation is patience. But that word has a very narrow meaning compared to sabr. We know that sabr means not just patience and perseverance in the face of difficulties, but as per the shari'i definition of sabr, it also means being steadfast in avoiding sin, being steadfast in restraining yourself when you're tempted, being persistent in performing acts of virtue, even when it's not easy. This is really the definition of sabr. Sabr is not just patience and endurance, but it is dedication and commitment. It is consistency in acts of virtue. It is restraining the self when tempted. Now, overcoming hunger and thirst during Ramadan is part of it, no doubt. But it goes beyond that. Protecting our gaze is also part of that sabr. Shahru sabrin, the month of patience, of endurance. Guarding your ears from listening to what is inappropriate is also part of it. Guarding your minds from thinking of what is inappropriate, because ultimately all evil actions begin with an evil thought. Also guarding your tongue, and this is the most important thing. Guarding your tongue, if you cannot do anything in the month of Ramadan, if you cannot perform any act of ibadah, if you cannot do dhikr and tilawah, if you cannot even go and perform the taraweeh, at least keep quiet. If you keep quiet, then you will find self-reformation automatically will come as a consequence. It is the month particularly of guarding the tongue. That is why the Prophet ﷺ particularly mentioned that لا يرفث ولا يسخب. Let there be no abomination and obscenity. Let there be no argumentation whatsoever. Even if you're on the truth, avoid the temptation of lashing out with your tongue. It is also the month where we guard our hands and everything else from every sin and anything that may potentially displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, being persistent in good deeds as much as possible, despite external, or for that matter, internal obstacles. And the internal obstacles are the greater obstacles, is part of this month. So Ramadan requires sabr in the fullest sense of the meaning of sabr. And this month provides a training ground for that very important quality to be developed and nurtured. Because without sabr, we simply cannot be mu'mineen. Endurance, fortitude, patience. This is the second obligation after iman. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Say, I believe in Allah, and then be steadfast. Then exercise sabr. Sabr is absolutely prerequisite for living a righteous and wholesome Muslim life. This is the month in which we can develop that quality of sabr. So this is the recipe for the complete overhaul of our life. It's not just a small adjustment in meal times. It is a spiritual and moral reawakening. The highest point of Ramadan is i'tikaf. I'tikaf is an act of worship in which a person, we know, secludes himself in the masjid. He then devotes himself entirely to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance, to muraqabah, to meditation, and deep thought. We know that at least some people in every Muslim community must take a break, go to the masjid at least for the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, and at our musalla, inshallah, this year, we have facilities for people to do that. Some other people may not be able to do that, but at least to imbibe the spirit of i'tikaf, of seclusion, they should spend some time. And the wisdom of i'tikaf and seclusion is as Rasulullah himself described, that مَا زَهِدَ عَبْدٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا, that no sooner does a person withdraw from the preoccupations of his life, he goes into a state of i'tikaf, seclusion. إِلَّا أَنْبَتَ اللَّهُ الْحِكْمَةَ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Allah firstly causes wisdom to grow in his heart. وَأَنْتَقَ بِهَا لِسَانَهُ. Allah then causes him to speak all that which is wise. وَبَسَّرَهُ عَيْبَ الدُّنْيَا. Allah then shows him the inadequacies and the faults and the harms of this dunya. وَدَاءَهَا, its sicknesses. وَدَوَاءَهَا, and also its cures. وَأَخْرَجَهُ سَالِمًا إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. And as a consequence of this i'tikaf, Allah removes him safely from this world of danger to the home of eternal peace and safety. So i'tikaf is great hikmah and great naf'ah, great benefit. But we must differentiate between worldly pleasures and worldly responsibilities, which is the second thing mentioned in this hadith. When we take a break from i'tikaf, in i'tikaf, we take a break from the first, from worldly pleasures. We never take a break from worldly responsibilities. Even in Ramadan, we take a break in our psalm from worldly pleasures. We never take a break from worldly responsibilities. Now what we mean by this is, once Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was performing the i'tikaf, when a person came and sat quietly beside him, Abdullah bin Abbas sensed that this person was quite distressed about something. And he turned to him and asked him as to what his situation was, what was causing him this concern. Upon which the person said that he was in desperate need, he was poverty stricken, and he had some urgent needs. Immediately Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas left the masjid. He went out to help this person. Now we know the ruling is that the person who leaves the masjid during the month of Ramadan, when he does i'tikaf, his i'tikaf is nullified. And then he has to do qada of that i'tikaf. The person obviously was grateful when Abdullah bin Abbas assisted him. But he was very curious, because Abdullah bin Abbas was one of the fuqaha amongst the Sahaba, one of the great jurists amongst the Sahaba. And he asked Abdullah bin Abbas as to why he terminated and voided his i'tikaf, which is a great sunnah mu'akkada imposed upon us as Muslims. Abdullah bin Abbas related the hadith that when a person makes an effort to help his brother, then he earns the reward of performing 10 years of i'tikaf. And not just that, وَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّارِ ثَلَاثَةَ خَنَادِقٍ. Allah places between him and the fire of hell three trenches. Each trench is أَبَدُ مِمَّا بَيْنَ الْخَافِقِينَ, is greater than the distance between the horizons. In another hadith, he mentioned that كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي. Allah will assist his servant even in his spiritual ambitions, for as long as that person assists his fellow brother Muslim, Allah will be there to help you. And this brings us to that second principle that Rasulullah communicated in his khutbah of Ramadan. And that is, Ramadan is the month of muasat. It is a month of kindness. It is a month of charity. Muslims are not obsessed about even their own spiritual progress when it means being not concerned about the well-being of others. مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمْ بِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Rasulullah said, those are not concerned about the well-being of their fellow brother Muslims, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, they are not one of us. You can exclude them from my ummah. So even in our spiritual endeavors, and our religious enthusiasm, we do not exclude our fellow brother Muslims and we do not show a lack of concern for them. Sometimes we mask our selfishness by a religious veneer. We have this camouflage of piety. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns against this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يُحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. This is particularly for those who may have a veneer of religiosity. They may perform their salah, they may fast, they may give their zakah. There is this veneer, there is this show and ostentatious display of piety. But, لَا يُحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. They do not concern themselves with the orphan. They are not concerned about the well-being of their neighbor. They do not feed the hungry. And this is again the second message of the month of Ramadan. There is lots of distress in the Muslim world today. There are tremendous numbers, millions of Muslims that are in desperate need. And the need for remembering this message of Ramadan cannot be overstated. And in conclusion, unfortunately today, although this should be the scene of the month of Ramadan, this should be the overriding mindset of a Muslim when he enters into the month of Ramadan, we find that in many parts of the world, particularly the Muslim world, Ramadan is the month of celebration. There's shopping, fancy iftars, posh restaurants, there's lots of entertainment, there's gossiping. People stay up at night, not really to worship Allah, but to smoke the hookah. They're up at night watching television and the soccer. They while away their time in bazaars. And month of Ramadan, unfortunately, becomes a month of feasting, not a month of fasting. A cliche we use, but you don't realize how detrimental Ramadan now becomes to it. It becomes to us. Just as Ramadan could be that ladder whereby you ascend into the highest empyreans, Ramadan could be that slippery slope whereby you slip into the fire of hell as well. Now, so no one can take away our Ramadan. We seem to be just giving it away ourselves. And if we realize the utter blunder we have made, and the tremendous opportunities we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reform and reorient ourselves, then inshallah we can take our Ramadan back. Inna a'da an-nas or inna a'da aduika ma bayna jambayk. Always remember, your greatest enemy is not the kafir out there, not the antagonist, not even shaitan. Your greatest enemy is the one between your shoulders, it is yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us better understanding and wisdom and discipline. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.